Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. If this is your first time listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast deep diving all the episodes. We're currently in season 12, episode 12 and 13. And you can always go back, start from the beginning. Just know that we said everything we said in 2016. Also, if you would like to get a little bit more of the podcast than what these weekly episodes, you can get bonus episodes and access to our Facebook group by going to www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. All sorts of cool bonus content there. Feel free to check it out. We'd love to have you be a part of our little, what do we call it? What's our group called?
The
On-call squad.
Yeah.
Squad was a big word in 2016.
Yeah. Pod squad.
Pod squad.
Yeah.
So you can join us there.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Beyond Call Room Pod. And then you can leave us a review.
Please. 5 stars.
That would be great.
Yeah. Say something. Use it as your day to give a daily affirmation.
Yeah.
We always need them.
And if you are a $10 patron, you get post-op discussion. So when we call time of death, we keep talking for 5 to 10 minutes afterwards. And today we're going to talk about April and Jackson and their divorce being final and kind of some things with that. So if you are a J-April fan, you should be a $10 attending and listen to what we have to say.
Yeah. Also, it is prime summertime here right now in Michigan, I just want to say, because we always talk about the weather here.
Yeah.
It's a weather podcast. It's that it feels like it's about to be done.
Yep.
The sycamore leaves on my street have started falling.
It's starting to get darker sooner. Like, I've noticed that, you know, I was going to go water the plants at like 8:30, but it was like dark. And I was like, ooh, the spiders are going to be out. I don't want to get out there.
Also, I say that, but this past Saturday, I shot probably the hottest wedding of the year for me.
It was so hot.
It was so gross and humid. And it had like rained and then like it did, it stopped raining, but it stayed like just as wet as if it was raining. And I felt so bad because my bride, her one thing, she was like, I just don't want to be hot on my wedding day. And I was like, congratulations, you have chosen the hottest day to get married.
Yeah.
So that was miserable.
Well, why would she get married in August then?
I think she thought up north late August.
Wouldn't be.
But I was like, girl, September is summer.
But it was Saturday, right? Because I feel like Friday was a little bit cooler.
Yes, Friday was fine.
Yeah.
And even Sunday was it was still super hot Sunday morning.
Yeah, but
Saturday was miserable, kind of. Like if you had to be dressed up, she wasn't, you know, like full makeup, big dress.
Saturday, we were also up north in Traverse City, but we were kayaking on a river.
That looked so fun.
It was really fun.
I wanted to do that Sunday. I was like, we could go kayaking. And then I woke up and I was really tired. So we did hike Empire Bluff.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little trail.
Yeah, that's really nice. So this is really sad, but usually we kayak the Crystal River and there's like this little kayaking place that we go to. And earlier in the summer, someone drove into it, like lost control of their car and it lit on fire and they died on the scene. Very, very sad. Like a 19-year-old kid who like lives up north. I don't know if like alcohol or anything was involved. So they, unfortunately, they're like, we're going to close the rest of the summer just because I think it was like, honestly, I think the building was fine, but like emotionally, like it was a lot for them.
Did you do paddle TC?
We did the Platte, and we went to like the outpost or something. It was this old man standing outside. He was great. And then they like, you know, shuttle you down, or actually you drive your car down and then they shuttle your drivers back and then like they'll pick up your cars or whatever. But we did the lower Platte because the upper Platte it's much longer and it's like, there's more rapids and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not about to wear a helmet on a kayak or something, but there's this big lake that you have to cross. And I'm not a super confident kayaker, but like but I'm like fine now. Like if this had been my first year kayaking, I would have freaked out because I only go like once a year. But my kayak kept going to the left. Like, and they kept saying like, stay to the right of the lake. And I was in the middle of the fucking lake. And I was like, I just want to be off this lake. Of course, John shoots ahead. Like, and I was so mad because I've had this discussion with him about leaving me behind on a kayak. Like I have abandonment issues and he Of course, just left me. So my sister Catherine, like, stayed by my side. She was like, I will not leave you. I will stay to the left of you so your kayak doesn't go any further into this lake. And she was having a great time. But that was the worst moment for me. Like, and there, so there were, like, three people ahead of us. At least people were behind us, too.
Okay,
like,
okay.
Reva and Annie were
behind.
You weren't
the caboose.
No, and I was in the middle. But I, like, hurt my wrist because I kayaked so hard to get off that fucking lake. But everything else was great.
That's fun. I've only done the one that goes through Traverse City. Like,
oh.
But you end up in the right in the bay, like, and
okay.
Then you go back to the place.
Okay.
I didn't know there was another one.
I mean, it's like—
Did you have to get out and drag your canoe? There's a
portage. Yeah. So the Crystal River, you have to portage three times.
Okay.
This one, you have to portage once, but only because you usually don't, but they're working on this gate. And
yeah.
So it was closed. And it was such, like, a short thing.
Yeah.
And the only difficult thing I would say about it is, like, I have a really bad knee and ankle injury right now. So getting into the and out of the kayak.
It's hard anyways.
It was so hard on my knee. And so I had to make sure, like, someone was holding my kayak, like, on stable ground and then shoved me in, or I would have just, like, tipped. It was funny. At one point, we, like, pulled up on this, like, sandbar thing. There was, like, this big group of people tubing, and, like, they were hanging out, and we were having drinks and, like, eating sandwiches and just having a good time. And then our friend Ben went to get back in his kayak and just completely tipped it. And he had a gajillion empty cans in his kayak.
No!
So we're, like, picking up all the cans, like, oh no, they're floating away. But it was really fun.
That's fun. I can't believe it took me till this time of year to go up there.
Yeah, I mean, we try and go up once a year, and this was our first time up there.
I have two more weddings.
Oh, yeah, but you have weddings, so
that's... But I have two more up north, like, in October, so I'll be there in the fall.
Where was the wedding, this wedding?
Blue Bridge Event Center.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
It's, like, it's actually south. It's kind of by Interlaken.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
okay.
Not really, like, by the bay or anything, and it was just hot.
Yeah,
so hot.
It was just really hot.
But...
Was it pretty?
Yeah. It was nice, here we are.
Here we are. I start school tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow night, sex therapy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome back to school.
Yeah. My professor, Dr. Foster, sent a very short email. She said, here's the book you need. This is my favorite class to teach. I was like, great.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, and
that'll
I had
exciting.
And I had her last semester. So.
Are you slightly excited to go back to school for that sense?
Like, a little bit. And I feel a little bit better because I've had this professor before and only last semester, so she'll definitely remember me. It's just nice when you, like, kind of know someone, and it's all online again, and so I think it will be fine. And it's not, like, fucking research classes that I want to...
I was going to ask you a question. I'm like, this is not an interesting content for the podcast. This is just me having a conversation with you. I will save that for another time.
Cool. Perfect.
Well, great. Well, we should probably just get into it.
Yeah.
You're here for the Grays content.
Yeah, not the Abby and Bree show.
Although sometimes that's fun, but we don't have anything exciting to say today.
No.
So we are talking today about season 12, episode 12 and 13, My Next Life and All Eyes on Me. Have you seen the Bo Burnham special?
I have not, no.
Okay, well, there's a song called All Eyes on Me. And whenever I read this title, All Eyes on Me, I start singing, and it's like a ridiculous part of the show. So when you do watch it.
Is it worth it?
I mean, he's definitely, like, a funny, white, straight guy.
Yeah.
That, like, but he also acknowledges that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brilliant that he made that by himself during quarantine.
Yeah.
From an artist standpoint alone, you're like, holy fuck. Also, the songs, I'm very nervous for the Spotify wrap-up in January because I'm afraid Bo Burnham could be one of my top artists because the songs are really funny and catchy, and I listen to them a lot. It's like adult Muppets.
I don't know why this made me think of this, but have you watched White Lotus yet?
Yes, I finished it.
You did? What did you think?
Spoiler alert if you haven't watched White Lotus.
Yeah.
I so enjoyed watching it. I mean, they're all despicable.
Terrible humans.
So I laughed thinking that there, like, could be super, like, people just that are so out of touch with the critical thinking that, like, watch it and don't realize that it's, like, spoofing on these people.
Yes.
Because I do feel like that's the thing.
Because it's subtle.
It's so subtle. Yeah, but I loved it. The music is like...
Yeah.
Like my favorite thing ever. And I just thought it was great how predictable the ending, like,
yeah, yeah,
that nothing fucking changed.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not.
Who was your favorite? Like, what storyline was like?
I mean, I thought the husband was fucking ridiculous. The one who
married to Connie Britton.
No.
Oh, Shane.
Like, yeah, it was so fucking ridiculous. I can't remember a lot of people's names.
Yeah, yeah.
The host of the island.
Armand, I loved him.
So funny. When he, spoiler alert, like, I won't, but when he comes in after, like, losing it, and he's like, that is the best dinner I have ever done. Like,
yes, and the music that's playing, yeah. It's like orchestra music.
And he's, like, slow-moing, like, sending people to tables
I said to Jake during that scene, I was like, this is so well done.
Yeah, it was very funny. There were, like, not as many, like, laugh out loud moments that I thought, like, everyone was like, this show's hilarious, but it was, like, very intelligent humor.
Yes. The two girls with their matching books to their outfits.
Yes.
And when they were smoking weed and the mom comes in, she's like, we're doing witchcraft. And she's like, oh, okay. Like. My favorite was Quinn, the boy who ended up not getting on the airplane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It made me so happy that he, like, found people. Like, he's been so alone. He's like,
the guys were like, Brother Quinn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous show. I heard they're making more seasons.
I wonder what they're going
to
do.
My thought is it has to be totally different characters, but maybe like a different resort or like a similar, because I feel like, how are we going to, to me that wrapped up them. I don't need to know where they went, because the whole idea to me is that they didn't change.
Yeah.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh my God. She might have been my favorite character. When, I think one of the best, like, comedic things ever is them being on that cruise.
Yes. Like, and just, she's like, wailing.
Yeah. And they're like, oh my God. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I loved it so, so much.
And then when, like, Quinn, like, wakes up and she's, like, in the water, like, throwing ashes. Yes. And he's just kind of like, what?
Yes. Oh, and I just love that when he waked up, too, the first time he slept out there. Well, and that his sister didn't let him sleep in the
room. I know.
Just evil sibling shit.
Yeah.
And his, like, iPad and Nintendo Switch are floating away.
So.
Yeah. It was enjoyable. I just love the music.
Yeah.
And I want to go to an all-inclusive.
Yeah. I think it's really funny, too. I watched, like, an after, a director's thing afterwards. And they were talking about Quinn. It's, like, a parent's worst nightmare is their, like, child being attached to their, like, tablets and phones. But then their other worst nightmare is then, like, disengaging and, like, wanting to be a part of nature and stuff.
So it's like the both things.
Yeah, which was really funny.
That's really good commentary. Mm-hmm. And when they did the two girls did the drugs and Jennifer Coolidge was talking to them, yeah. And they're just like, oh no, and she comes over. She's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. She's still got it.
She, to me, like, Heather McMahon needs to be her for Halloween.
Oh my
like,
God, that would be perfect.
Yeah, so...
I also loved the last thing I will say is all of her, like, clothes. Like, her wardrobe was fantastic.
I kept saying to Jake, I was like, I kind of really love this outfit. And I did say once, Brie would look really good. Like, it was like a muumuu.
Yeah,
it made me think of, like, a fancy,
yeah.
I don't know, you could pull it off.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the Grey's Anatomy.
Here we are. I'm going to be honest and love these episodes.
No, so. The first one with the Katie Bryce coming back was like, okay, well, let's do monologues.
Okay, right, sure.
I'll start. This one's by Meredith Grey. Any day where no one died is a good day. Someone said that once. Wait, it was me. I said it. Any day you wake up and your body's still moving is a good day. You can start over. You can forget your past mistakes. You can make a new start. Live every day like it's your last. All that crap they put on pillows and car bumpers, it's all true. You're alive. Respect that. Not everybody is. We can start over. Every day we get a second chance to become who we always wanted to be. We can leave our past behind, or we can learn from it and honor it. We can decide. It's never too late to change. These people don't have that chance. They left it to you. They let you learn from them. So let's say thank you and not screw it up.
And then back in med school, I knew a guy who spent his weekends as a magician for children's birthday parties. It makes a weird kind of sense. If you plan on sawing a person in half, you're going to need to practice. When you take the stage and all eyes are on you, you don't want the audience to see you sweat. You only want them to see the magic. There's a reason we like to keep things to ourselves. When you have an audience, even the smallest moments end up feeling huge. It makes the big moment seem positively earth-shattering. The trick is not letting the pressure keep you from taking big chances. You just get out there, naked and afraid, and pretend no one's looking. Meredith Grey.
You want to do shotgun workup?
Sure. We have Katie Rice has an aneurysm, Daphne, infection, septicemia, and pseudomonas? Pseudomonas?
Sure.
Great. Maxine Hewitt, concussion, Wolf, Parkinson-White syndrome, psych patient, abdominal aortic aneurysm, and Brian Carson, osteosarcoma and fractured pelvis.
All right, round number one, just a reminder, if you haven't listened in a while, we do longer rounds so that then when we talk about the episodes, we can talk about what just we want to talk about. First one, one of Meredith's patients named Daphne was set to be discharged cancer-free after 10 months of treatment. Meredith saw that her chemo port site was red, so she examined her. It was infected, so Meredith removed it, which caused serious bleeding. Meredith applied pressure to the area and paged cardio. The Daphne's lab showed septicemia, so Nathan again asked to take her into surgery. Meredith said that if she took away her hands and Daphne wasn't bleeding, it would be okay, but if she was bleeding, they'd have to rush her to the OR. When Daphne started to get hot, they prepared to move her to the OR. Meredith removed the packing and there was bleeding, so Daphne was rushed to the OR. Despite their best efforts, they were unable to save her. Throughout her entire life, she had a son named David who she had left and was trying to become a better person to re-enter into his life. She was a few days away from getting her college degree, and David was called right before she died, and he ended up showing up to the morgue to say goodbye to her. Post-surgery, Meredith and Nathan talked about Megan, who is Owen's sister, and how she died. We learned that she went off in a helicopter flying over dangerous airspace with a patient of hers, even though Nathan didn't want her to go. The helicopter never made it to the destination, and no one knows what happened.
There's just one thing that I think was funny.
What did I mess up?
No, it's just, throughout her entire life, she had a son.
I know.
Which I love. I was like,
I meant like throughout her life, she's been trying
Yeah. No, it's great. I love it so much.
I hate writing rounds.
Katie Bryce returns to the hospital for a second time. She'd had a previous aneurysm that hemorrhaged. Katie's episode was from Meredith's first day at the hospital, which that was the first episode, right?
Yeah, the pilot.
Her and Christina had to figure out what was wrong with her, and Derek chose Meredith to scrub into the surgery with him.
Yeah, I wrote with her. Sorry about that.
This time, her symptoms were different, so they believed it could be something different. Possibly a tumor.
It was late at night when I was writing these.
Her MRI showed a new aneurysm, much larger than the first. Amelia operated and was able to repair the aneurysm despite doubts that she was not ready or good enough to do this surgery. Katie woke up after her surgery with no neurodeficits, and Katie and Meredith had a conversation about how they've grown up since then, and she asked about what happened to the boy Shepherd, but Meredith did not give her an answer.
April and Jackson's divorce is final, but the phone bill is still in April's name. Jackson wants to make it right with April, so he writes her a check, and he's surprised to see that April seems to be happy and okay. He even makes the comment when giving her the check that he, in quotes, does not want to leave anything undone. Alex overhears this and goes over to talk to April because he has figured out that she is pregnant. We learn that she is 9 weeks pregnant, and Alex encourages her to tell Jackson soon.
Richard has figured out that Maggie and DeLuca are seeing each other, and he chooses DeLuca to be his man. He makes him do endless errands for him, scut work, and other punishing chores. Maggie catches light of this after she tells DeLuca that Weber is her dad and finally talks to Richard and says that he is a nice guy, he works hard, and that she likes him very much. Instead of letting him out of work early that night, however, her and Weber grab dinner together instead.
And I forgot to mention the part, because it happened in the second episode, where she makes it public that they are dating.
Which we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Amelia and Owen are sleeping together again, and Amelia spent the night at Owen's and forgot her boot and came into work with one shoe on. Owen gives her a pep talk when she is nervous to talk to Katie or to operate on Katie Bryce. And at the end of the episode, after the successful surgery, he puts her boot back on her foot and says that they should start over fresh.
Brian, who is 35, had osteosarcoma of his left pelvis, spine, and sacrum. Typically, his cancer would be treated with chemo and radiation, but Callie developed a surgical plan to use a graft from his left leg, which would be amputated, to move his right leg to the center of his body. However, before his surgery, he fractured his pelvis, making his case emergent. Meredith, Wilson, Callie, Bailey, and Jackson all headed to the Army base to operate. They took him into surgery, but the bone was more friable than Callie anticipated, so she left the OR to think of a way to make up for the gap. She eventually had the idea to use the head of the femur to make a new sacrum. serum. They were then able to finish attaching his leg to the middle of his body and close. Major Thorpe, who was the patient's doctor on the base, ended up asking for Meredith's number, and she gave it to him.
A bunch of cheerleaders came into the emergency room after a fall during a cheerleading routine. They were obnoxious, acting like high schoolers and causing drama. This caused Penny and Stephanie to have conversations about how they were in high school. The attendings talk about how people like Ben and Wilson are only with attendings so that they can get ahead. DeLuca is silent during this conversation as he is obviously with Maggie, but hasn't told anyone. At the end of the day, Stephanie ends up using her skills as an ex-cheerleader to have all the girls rally around their teammate Maxine, who has complications and wasn't doing well.
Ben had an interesting day at the hospital when a psych called for a surgical consult. The doctor was doing intake when he started clutching his abdomen. He crashed, and Ben determined he wouldn't make it to the OR, so he decided they'd have to open him up in the room. However, as it was psych, there were no sharp objects. Ben broke a piece of a clipboard and used it to open the patient's chest and had Spencer clamp the aorta. They then took him into surgery where they repaired the abdominal aortic aneurysm. The whole time when Weber got there, he was disciplining Ben and saying that his bravado got the best of him. Luckily for Ben, his surgery went well and he was stable afterward. When Bailey got back to the hospital, she was frustrated with Ben and gave him a teaching moment, as well as suspended him for 3 days. She then switched into her wife mode and told Ben that he would have to tell her every single detail of the surgery.
Whew, it's a lot there.
Lots of rounds.
First note?
Yeah.
Mine is Katie Bryce is coming back.
I said, I thought these classes were over. Wasn't that in notes and trivia?
It was, but I wondered if that was anatomy class and now they had actual cadavers. Is that different?
Okay, I bet you're right.
I had the same thought, and then I thought maybe.
Yeah, but so then my second note is Mayor wants everyone to have a little respect for the dead.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's just talk about Katie Bryce.
Okay.
First of all, that actress, I mean, she shows up 3 times in this show.
Yeah, because doesn't she show up at the trial too?
She does, which I guess makes sense. She's Meredith's first patient.
Yeah.
Did you notice that when they come in, they are playing the same music?
Yes.
That is played in that when I think it's the music when Meredith is wheeling her around.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They kind of flashed back to it, but I thought that was great. And I feel like not everyone would recognize that, but if you've watched the show as much as we have,
yeah, then
this feels familiar.
Pick up on it. I'm going to be honest. I forgot Katie Bryce comes back.
Yeah, I forgot. I knew she came back at the end.
So did I. I remember that, but I did not remember her having another aneurysm.
No, which actually for me made it make even more sense that she comes back for the trial, because I was always kind of like, how does she remember? Like,
yeah,
but she did it twice. And this was a positive experience again with Meredith. I love that she said they still let you be a doctor here and like in front of Amelia.
She's like, it was my first day.
Yeah.
She's like, you got me lost like over and over again, you know?
I know it felt like Meredith was old Meredith here in a way. Like,
yeah. It's interesting too, like the dynamic between Amelia and Meredith, where like Meredith is like, this is my patient. Like my name's on her chart. But Mare doesn't do neuro, you know?
Right.
And so, and then just like, it was hard to watch Meredith have to choose between like one of her patients, Daphne, who she was like really cares about and has spent months with. And then this other patient who was her first patient. And she like, you can tell she wants to leave, but she can't.
Right.
So she's like pulled in 2 places.
And sends Penny to go back and forth. I love when Penny's just like, I'm not doing this anymore. Also, especially because Amelia still hates Penny. It's very obvious. I also felt like like Amelia having this pressure. This is one of a first like big thing since she's been sober, I feel like. And to see, she kept looking at like the part where it says her brother's name on that file. And like, and no, what did she call it to Owen? Meredith and Derek's love child surgery or something.
Yeah.
And so just like the pressure on that, because she knows her and Meredith are in such a bad place. She even says something when she's talking to Owen about how she like blew up her relationship with Meredith. And I feel like in her brain, if this surgery does not go well, it's like one more nail in the coffin, kind of. What else? The song. Oh, okay. Also, another repeat song that they did was Into the Fire.
Oh, that was a when's that one?
I'm pretty sure that's the song that's played when they're pushing Katy Bryce into surgery at the end of the pilot and here.
Oh.
Like, and it's, did you notice? So Meredith is right. This was the only part of the episode I really like. She's riding on the gurney with Daphne
and they
passes each other. And it's that song into the fire.
Yeah. And then they make eye contact.
Yes. And that I meant to look up when that happens, but I'm pretty sure that song,
maybe it's on Notes and Trivia.
Yeah, it isn't in Notes and Trivia. I'm going to look up. Well, if you have anything else to say about,
I was happy that the surgery went well. I mean, can we kind of go into Daphne then too?
Ugh.
Because I just felt so bad for her. Like, she's just trying to get her life turned around and she doesn't want to talk to her son until she can prove that she has turned her life around. She has her bachelor's right. And, it just I kind of felt from the minute there was a lot of blood and things weren't going well, I was like, fuck,
yeah.
This girl's gonna, or this woman's gonna die. Because we're I don't want to call my son. I don't want to call my son. And I don't want to call my son. And it's you're gonna call your son.
And then when Riggs is think you need to call.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just the way the blood,
that would be so scary to be laying there and look down and be like, that's a lot of blood.
That's
coming
how I felt when Jake gave me an IV.
Oh yeah, just gushing.
It wasn't that much.
Gushing blood.
But yeah, when they pull the gurney away and there's just a pool of it.
And do we think Mare made the wrong call?
I wondered if it was inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. With sepsis, I don't know. It kind of seems like she did, but I know nothing about medicine to actually comment on that.
Yeah, no, and it wasn't brought up in there that she did.
Also, okay, so the song, I just looked it up. So the song Into the Fire is played in the pilot. It's the last song of the episode. It's when Derek starts the surgery on Katy while Meredith watches.
Uh-huh.
And so she sees her go in, and it's when Derek clips the aneurysm. Amelia was doing... Not
wow.
the same thing, but yeah.
God, the writers, they really know.
How do they remember this?
They know how, they remember some things, but then I feel there are some obvious things that they don't remember.
So I really just the fact that they played those two songs made me really happy because I love it's like whenever they play Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel.
Like old Greys. I mean, it's so weird too in this episode. I don't know if you felt this, because we're flashing back to season one. The show just looked so much different.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked about that a bit on here, but I got very nostalgic in this episode watching the flashbacks that I watched the Thanksgiving episode of season 2.
Yes.
Because I was just I just picked a random one, but I was I want to watch an old episode of Grey's.
I feel when we're done with this podcast, I will still probably go back and rewatch early Grey's.
Yeah.
It just was really good.
Yeah.
And the music. And
it's been long enough. I mean, it's been four years since we've watched those. So
yeah.
You should go watch a random episode. It will make your heart feel although I feel we just tore it to shit.
I know. We didn't know what we were doing.
We still don't know what we're doing.
And so I appreciate at the end too. I was kind of sad that Katy Bryce doesn't know what happens. Or she's what happened to Guy Dr. Shepherd? And Meredith just says that's a long story, which it is.
Yeah.
But I was glad she made it and I was sad about Daphne. But then when David came, her son,
oh my God,
to the morgue and to say goodbye and he holds her hand, I also thought, okay, so I'm just switching into another topic with this. So clearly Meredith, remember she goes, ugh, Riggs.
Yeah.
And that Daphne was like, why, ugh? And I was why would you say that in front of
your dying patient on the table?
Yeah. But anyways, Riggs comes and clearly they're a little butting heads, but they end up having to work together. And also at the end, when Meredith, kind of approaches him and is like, what happened to Owen's sister? We learn what happened. And Meredith makes that comment so Owen thinks you should have been in that elevator. And he's mm-hmm. I don't go around asking you about your dead husband, do I?
Yeah.
And I feel so clearly they both, this is the first time I think they're realizing that or Meredith is realizing that he has a loss of love.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I thought was interesting and sad is they're both in that room with Daphne mm-hmm. when David comes. And I just feel Meredith ends up having to leave. I don't know if you see that. She can't be in there. And I feel this might be the beginning of them relating in some sense.
Yeah.
And they had to work together and then they are watching this. I don't know. I just... think about it. But what a horrible thing that happened to Megan. Just disappeared in a helicopter.
I know. And I don't really remember that either. I remember the helicopter thing, but I always thought there was a helicopter crash. But this was
I think they crashed and then were taken as prisoners of war.
Right. Okay. Okay.
That is what I believe.
Got it. Okay.
And that she wanted... It's also interesting, too, that Megan was like, I want to go with my patient. It's my patient. And that's how she ended up going. And in the same way, Meredith that day was like, she's my patient. Like, it's just... There was a couple, like, mirroring things.
Yeah, there were. You picked up on them better than I did, because these episodes were just kind of... I feel like went over... And I wonder, too, if these episodes kind of went over my head, because, like, I feel like not a lot happened in them. Right. And so they're not, like, super memorable. And I haven't rewatched season 12.
Right.
But I remember, like, the Ben Warren thing. Like, I know this, like, expands into something else. But these other, like, little ones.
Right, because then doesn't he do it to April when she has it?
Yeah, but he also, I think, does it to another patient. He's just, like, reckless. So, I mean, should we talk about it? Is there anything else you want to talk about with Daphne or...
No. Is that why he ends up being a firefighter? Because he likes the adrenaline?
I mean, I think he is. He's an adrenaline junkie.
When does he start? It's got to be soon.
It's after the fire, right? And the rapist, which is season 13?
We just looked it up.
So it aired, Station 19 aired March 22nd, 2018. So it would make sense that, like, Ben Warren, like, there's, I think the fire is... Season 13 of Grey's Anatomy, which is like 2017.
And then it would have been.
Yeah, so then he would join Station 19.
So he loves that adrenaline rush.
He does.
What did you think of? I felt so bad for that psych doctor.
Okay, felt really bad for the psych doctor. Felt bad for the patient going through some things. Not great. Like, I think Ben Warren, and I think we get into this, like, kind of thinks he's God. And also he's like, I've been, like, we even see that with him talking to Richard. Like, I've been a doctor longer than these people, you know. But he's also still only a resident in this program.
Right.
Just because he's been, like, an anesthesiologist doesn't mean that. So anyway, I think he gets really, really cocky. And what Bailey is trying to tell him is, like, you got lucky. And, like... you know, Richard, the bravado, getting the best of him. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I have that exact quote.
Yeah, he says, what you call a calculated risk is what I call foolish. You did not show skill today. You showed bravado, and that is dangerous.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think this is the beginning of, like, a storyline with Ben. And I think it comes to a culmination with... April. I think that's how the storyline ends, because there's, like, he, like, kind of loses his confidence or something, and then he has to do this to save and, like, actually saves April.
Right. So,
and that would be really difficult for Bailey, being in that position of, like, when he says, like, Miranda, and she points at her name card.
Yeah, she, like, holds it up, like, I'm not Miranda right now.
Yeah, like, I am the chief. And so he has to get suspended. But yeah, I think this is just the beginning of him kind of thinking he knows better. And, like, I think probably that, like, Richard showed up, like, 5 seconds later.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think he in his mind is like, I saved this person. They would have died. But, like, I think the other doctors are trying to tell him, like, no, you're just getting in it.
And also, like, I almost feel like it's like a form of anxiety for him. Like, I gotta do this. If I don't do this, it's like not thinking clearly enough to realize, like, okay, actually, why don't I page so-and-so and do what I can? I just felt really bad for that psych doctor. And he, like, pushes him aside.
Yeah.
He, like, physically assaults him too, which, like, that should be. But yeah, it's not great. I wonder, though, I did appreciate the tiny blip of Bailey being like, okay, now I just want to know. You cut him open with a clipboard. What? But yeah, I don't have much to say about it other than it was just like, it made me anxious.
Yeah.
The other intern that's with him or whoever, that, like, tall, skinny guy with the dark hair who's, like, running around looking for a scalpel, is a terrible actor. I don't normally say that, but there was, like, things that he was doing that were just so, like, over-exaggerated. I don't know. I was like, who is this guy? He clearly got a shot at being on the show and then...
lost it.
I think I want to talk about One Leg.
Okay.
One Leg Joe. I don't know what his name is.
Brian.
another case of osteosarcoma, which McCoy has. had
Really?
Oh, yes. That's what his thing was.
Yeah.
He sort of looks like that person now.
Yeah.
Because his leg is like in the middle. But no, crazy. I don't understand how that will make him walk again.
I, too, wonder that. Like, that very dramatic, like, zoom out shot where they're like, ta-da! like, he will learn to walk again. But, like why? Huh? Also, like, why couldn't they... prosthetic. I'm confused.
I think it's because it was in his sacrum. Like
got it.
It was
okay.
His pelvis that okay. had to go.
Okay, okay, okay.
But I still don't get how then putting a leg in the middle is better than being in a wheelchair.
Yeah, because like
maybe now they can do, I don't get how they can do a prosthetic because it's in the middle.
Yeah, does
I
guess.
I have no idea. Does he gonna hop?
That's what I'm, that's the only way you could.
Can you imagine? I'm not, okay, I don't say this in a way because I'm an able-bodied human. I'm not trying to make fun of people who have, like, are disabled physically. But when would this happen where you'd see a man walking around on one leg? Hopping.
I don't think you do, right? Maybe, I mean, but I also feel like this show researches, like...
That's true. There could be, this could be real. Anyways, it was wild.
Does a person have, can a person walk with one leg in the middle?
Yeah, in the middle.
The first thing that came up with Reddit. How the hell was he supposed to walk
is
with one
Grace?
Leg? I'm going to see if it is.
It's got to be.
Rewatching, and I'm at season 12, episode 13. A military guy has cancer on one hip. Okay, so there's a Reddit thread about it, guys.
Ooh, did anyone have any answers?
I have been asking this question for years, and they never tell us. They didn't explain, demonstrate, follow up, nothing. Maybe it was to make it easier to sit in a wheelchair, and walking wasn't the goal. But they did talk about, like,
walking.
He can walk again. It's either that or forearm crutches, because there's no way he was just going to be hopping around on one leg. I tried so hard researching many times, but I really can't find a possible real reference or study by any slim chance, an actual case that inspired it. I don't like how they proceeded with that storyline, leaving important details so vague. It's so bad because I love the whole dream team narrative, but they did it with such an awful surgery storyline.
Oh, that helps.
So there we go.
Yeah, I mean, part of me, I guess also is the only way that he doesn't die.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it was just chemo and radiation.
Right.
I liked...
why wouldn't you just get rid of his leg?
Yeah, I don't know. I have a note that says, who are all of these... I don't even know if they're Marines. I apologize. I said, who are all these people? Major Thorpe says, Norp.
Says
like,
Norp?
Well, because he's like, nope, you're not doing this. As I wrote, Major Thorpe says, Norp.
This is a guy with the French fries, right?
I couldn't remember.
Do you remember,
Yes.
And you're like,
him.
What are you talking
no,
about?
No, I do. I didn't remember. I do remember that scene. I didn't remember this, that it's this guy.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember his face looked familiar.
Yeah. He has like a very pretty face.
Yes. Very pretty face.
And did you hear
was
that?
Was that your stomach?
That was my stomach.
I thought that a helicopter went by. That sounded like an airplane miles away.
Dude, I hope the mic picked that up.
I don't know. I felt bad for him because they're just like pummeling over his patient.
Yeah.
But obviously they want to do it. The dream team. I don't know. When Callie doesn't know what to do and panics. I liked Meredith being like, I thought I too wanted some space.
Yeah.
I'm like, but why are this? She's like, but then I learned that maybe
yeah.
I don't. What else do I have to say about it?
It was just, I don't know. It just seemed like a really random storyline. And I guess maybe it had to get us to this one guy, but like...
Oh, to Major Thorpe.
Yeah, but
like, why? He's only in like one other episode.
I know. I don't. Maybe they thought they wanted him on there for longer, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole storyline, like I was not...
impressed.
I wasn't, yeah. I just like wasn't invested in it.
Yeah, me either. I want the show where Owen and them are abroad.
Yeah.
And then they come back to bases and they're doing that. I thought it was interesting that that one woman was like, who was kind of flirting with Jackson was like, I don't normally get to see things like this. It's a lot of just like patching people up. And
yeah.
so, but also there's a lot of talk of like flirting in this episode. Like, cause Jackson's single. I loved how is it Callie was like, oh, we're used to all of this. Like we're not phased by you anymore. Like the eyes and the way I was like, what do you mean? And then Meredith, I was proud of her for giving her number out. She looked like a little kid when she like ran back, like, shut up.
Yeah. Like don't say anything. Yeah. Yeah. Which I'm like, I'm happy that her friends are like also encouraging her to like, because it's been
a year and a half, 2 years maybe.
Yeah.
We don't know timelines in this show.
Yeah. And she's no longer a widow, so.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know. That's what the therapist said. A widow is married to a dead guy. You're no longer a widow. Like, she's ready to move on?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah. What about, what else happened that we, oh, okay, maybe we can quick talk about just, I thought it was interesting that I think DeLuca was ready to come out in the open with
him and
Maggie.
But then wasn't?
Yeah, because he overheard them all talking, Stephanie and Penny talking about, like, they're all just trying to get ahead. And I feel like he's like, shit, I don't want my people I work with to think this of me. But that's so sad. So this must be the demise of them.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder if this is how it ends because they're doing so well. Yeah. And he's like, I don't. And she's hiding him. And he's like, I don't want to sneak around anymore.
It's not fun anymore.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. Like, I want to be open about it. And then the minute she does it, I just feel bad if he like ends it. Well, he obviously will.
Yeah.
Like he's going to end it with her, right? And that just.
And sucks. During this talk of when they were talking about like high school versions of them, and I can't remember. Was she talking to. Oh, yeah. She was talking to Alex. Alex had two great moments in the show of where he knows what's going on but doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And he's like, but look at you now. She's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you're with the captain of the football team. Like, and she's like, how do you know? But like how he made that thing to like, you're the nerd girl and you're with this guy. And so I feel like. It's going to hurt her if then he breaks it off with her.
Yeah.
It's
going to bring up old wounds.
Yes. Especially because she was open with Richard eventually and was like, hey, I like him.
Yeah. Be nice to him.
Yeah.
I love too that Richard was like, well, it was going to be really nice to like have all those charts. Like, and then she was like, do you want to get dinner? Like, so it was like understood that he was going to be nice, but like he can actually still finish like doing the errand or like the chore for.
I also loved the scene when Maggie does come clean and it's to Riggs who like does not know any of them yet.
He's like,
and she's
okay.
Like, actually, I'm busy. I'm going out to dinner with DeLuca. And she like puts her arm around because we are together. Arizona was like cutely smiling at them.
It was like, that was very painful to watch.
Yeah. Riggs is just like, okay, so the surgery is tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think I like Riggs because I think he's very handsome.
He is very handsome.
I know a lot of people don't like him. And I think in this case, my like animal instinct pushes over many other things.
Yeah.
Where like, I don't care if he's not great. I'm like, oh, he's really cute.
I don't know. I have not made a judgment on Riggs yet. Because
okay. I like that.
I remember like, I don't think I liked him in the past, but I think it's because I wanted Meredith to be with Derek.
Yeah, it was
like,
so fresh.
Yeah. I think it was like, no, I don't want that. But now I'll see how I feel. I might change my mind.
I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah.
He also sort of looks like Major Thorpe. They're picking a similar vibe for Meredith.
Yeah, that hair. It's always swoopy hair, man.
She likes that. But
and like starry eyes.
Yeah,
or Riggs, dreamy.
Riggs
but.
Doesn't have, none of them have the lightness of Derek's eyes.
No.
Like even Thorpe's were like, yeah. I wish you could see what I'm doing, staring. But Derek's are always like twinkly.
Yeah. And fluttering.
How do they sparkle like that?
I don't know. They still do to this very day.
Also, again, PSA, you all should watch Virgin River. It is the dumbest show on planet Earth.
I tried to watch it and
it's
I
so dumb.
I couldn't do it.
You have to go into being like, I'm watching a Hallmark movie.
Well, yeah. I'll try again.
It's just ridiculous. If what pushes you away from it is the annoying mayor of the town, it's this woman. I don't know if she's the mayor. I can't, but I feel like she is. She is the worst. It never gets better. But in season three, she's barely in it.
I feel like this is like with Homeland, you're like, it was like, you just got to get through the Brody stuff. Like you really just, you have to get through it.
But then
there's always like a person in a show that you're like, you just, they're never going to get better. They're never going to get better.
That's how I feel
better.
About Owen.
Yeah.
I think I'm also like not super attracted to Owen. So that also has that going against him for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's like not attractive. He's just not my type or something.
Yeah.
But I wonder like if he looked different, would I tolerate it more?
If he didn't.
If he had a Scottish accent, would probably tolerate it better.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And he wore a kilt. I don't know an accent. Okay, anyways.
I mean, Amelia and Owen.
Oh, yeah.
They're sleeping together.
I liked that she was like, I'm not wearing one boot because I'm drunk. It's because I'm having sex. They have a lot of sex in this show. Because Maggie's like, I haven't had sex in days. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's television.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how, and like DeLuca and Maggie like are fucking exhausted and then they're just having sex.
Yeah. Also, they kept showing it through the view of the blinds and I kept being like, oh shit, someone's going to see them.
And they never did.
But no. So the blinds were just open, I don't know, for an artistic choice. Also, I didn't write this in the rounds, but Richard was like, I feel like this is the end of the wingman story for him in Arizona. Mm-hmm. He's asking her about the different, like, how it was, like, going with so-and-so. And then Arizona's like, oh, you want to know? And she starts going into, like,
yeah,
we went there and around town and, like, whatever. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
But doesn't he, like, accuse her of being with too many women at once? He's like, how are you doing this? And she's kind of just like, I got my wings back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I used to be a little slutty and I'm happy that she is like getting it because she was a little slutty when she started dating Callie.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love that.
Yeah.
And so, we're saying slutty in a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying the word that Arizona used to describe herself. So.
Okay. I mean, this is a little short episode, but there wasn't that much going on. Should we do notes and trivia?
Yeah.
This episode's title originated from the song My Next Life, originally sung by Merle Haggard.
It scored 7.67 million viewers.
The table read for this episode took place on November 19th, 2015.
I feel like that's around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
James Pickens Jr. makes the 250th appearance as Richard Weber on Grey's Anatomy.
This episode features patient Katie Bryce, who made her first appearance in the pilot where she was Meredith's first patient ever. This made her the character with the biggest gap between two appearances, whose record was later broken by Olive Warner.
Who's that?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look that up.
The song Into the Fire by 13 Senses was also featured in the pilot while Derek operated on Katie Bryce, as was They by Jem when she gets lost in the hospital with Meredith.
April is 9 weeks pregnant during this episode.
Goof. Ben Warren says that he and Richard Weber were called the big dogs while they were actually called the old dogs.
This episode's title originated from the song All Eyes on Me, originally sung by Tupac Shakur.
This episode scored 7.53 million viewers.
The episode features scenes filmed at the Temple Community Hospital.
Goof. Ben's ID badge still shows anesthesiology as his department. Lies.
Lies.
He's a resident. He's a surgical resident.
Catherine Fox. Who do we want?
I don't fucking know who.
Meredith.
For giving her a number?
Yeah.
Okay.
And convincing Callie to figure something out.
Yeah.
And for Katie Bryce and Daphne and riding on gurneys and...
Okay.
I mean, unless you have a better candidate.
No, I don't.
I only gave it 6 out of 10. I actually was rating the first one high because I liked the Katie Bryce and any flashback.
Sure.
But then the second one was dumb.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, I would honestly do like a 5.5.
Ooh.
It was real low for me. I really didn't care for these episodes. I was bored, I'll just say it.
Great.
I mean, we didn't even have that much to say in this episode about it. So.
I know. Stick around if you are a patron. We will talk a little bit about April and Jackson. And thanks for being a listener. We love you guys very much. Time of death is 1309. Beep.